see it in the movies, in the paper, and the TV news. Somebody's army is always on the move. There's gonna be a battle. The lines have been drawn. They got guns and tanks and planes. The wells have gone dry and the water is bad. And the air is acid rain. There's a rumbling in the ground, and they're talking about the beast. Good mother's cry calls, the rivers run high with the blood of too many sons. Some people say peace is on the way, but the worst is still to come. 'Cause the prophets wrote about it, and Jesus spoke about it, and John got to take a look. And he told us what he saw, and it's easy to see. It's going by the book. It's going by the book. Cities and the missiles stand ready for flight. A pale horse rides like the wind across the night. And that rumbling in the desert like thunder getting closer. Are the trumpets getting ready to blow? There's gonna be a shout that will wake the dead. We better be ready to go. The prophets wrote about it, and Jesus spoke about it, and John got to take a look. And he told us what he saw, and it's easy to see. It's going by the book. It's going by the book.
And welcome to the Watching for Jesus program this afternoon on a Monday, 12th of January, 12th of never. Welcome. My name is Thomas Gambell. I'm the host of the show. Today, family, I'm going to talk about gun control and God, like I said I was going to do last week, and European solidarity. They got your Bible studies on Daniel. And get ready. I'm going to talk about some basic news today and what's going on in the world and what's really behind it all. Today set the stage for the rest of the week. And all week long, we're going to hit the ground running. A lot to talk about. A lot to catch up on. A lot to bring to the air that isn't being brought to the air. Doggone it, you know. These secret societies that JFK warned us about, Martin Luther King warned us about, Eisenhower warned us about, Larry McDonald, the list is long. And every one of them that's warned us has died or got killed or whatever, assassinated. Secret societies will be taken out by the Illuminati. That will happen. When the Great White Brotherhood has total control, Freemasons, they will kill you. It is going to happen. There is no question about it. None. And your Grand Inspector Generals can laugh it off all they want. They will be the first ones to be executed. I promise you that. It is documented. It will happen. But it only happen when the Great White Brotherhood of the Freemasons, the Great White Brotherhood of the Hierarchy, will have total control of the world domination, which we are very, very close, as I'll tell you all today, and show you, actually. When they have total control, they will no longer need you as a stepping stone. They're lying to you now about all the benefits you're going to get, all the inventions that's going to come out when they reduce the population, of which you all are self-serving to think that you're going to be the pride of the Illuminati and you'll get the benefit of the 6,000 inventions. It will not happen. Guarantee it. All through history, they've murdered, eliminated millions of people. They've killed all those that have worked for them. Finished. They're done. They kill them and take their soul. Blavatsky, Alice Bailey, all of them died. Westcott and Hort. Notice they all died when they finished their work. Every single one of them. Soon after they finished their work, they died. Every one of them. No exception. All I'm trying to do is warn you of something that's not speculative, something that's guaranteed to happen. However, it's dependent upon when they finally get their new world order. That's the only, and you may get old and die before then, or it may happen this year. It may happen 2017. But when they have it, and they've locked it in, the executions will start. It's documented. Chapter 15 of the Protocols. And if you're higher level, Freemasons, Rosicrucians, Knights of Malta, say this is a hoax, they're lying through their collective teeth. I don't care who they are, don't make any difference. Because they take a blood oath to lie in the first place. You lower level Masons, man, you're being lied to bad. I just hope you don't find out too late. Family, I'm going to dedicate the broadcast right now, and then I'm going to jump into it. And I will tell you, my broadcasts are not for squeamish. I don't mince words. I don't play politics, religion, country, whatever. I don't, you know, I follow Jesus. That's it. I'm done. He's the only one I follow. And even when I took an oath as a Marine, which I never take another oath ever again, I learned about those oaths and so forth. When I took that oath, even then, it was God first, country, and then core. Well, even then, God come first, even before the country. Don't forget that. And these clergy that's going to come out of the woodwork in FEMA, they will lie to you. Those like John MacArthur, Baldwin, the whole darn lot of them. You cannot trust one of them anymore. Because they work for the Illuminati, high-level Masons. They want to try to get you to do exactly what the government tells you to do, even take the mark of the beast. John MacArthur confirms that with his own words. The evangelist, he's a fraud. Irvin Baxter, Carl Gallup, the whole darn lot of them are leading you all down the wrong path. Hagee, Four Blood Moons, Mark Blitz, not possible. There are no four blood moons in the prophecies. Not there. Four blood moons every year for the past, how long has history been? Except when they're allowed to put forth their new world order, when they finally get it going, they'll pick the four blood moons and cause things to happen. That's not prophecy. That's cowardly planning. That's all it is. God's in control. He allows Satan certain latitude with his minions, like the ones I've just been talking about. And the Wiccan, and all those in the government, in the military, your industry. Finally, Satan is prince of this world. He's God of this world for the time being. As allowed by God because of sin entered the world. This is the big picture. His days will be cut short, though. It is a supernatural war that you're dealing with. I'm going to talk about secular issues today, certainly, but I have to cover the whole spectrum, not just simple little parts here and there, but the whole spectrum. because that's where it lies. No pun intended. God don't lie. King James Bible doesn't lie. All the other Bibles are corrupted, as can be proven. You will not prove otherwise. You can try. You will fail. The only true Word of God is the King James Bible, as evidence confirms. Irrefutable evidence. No theologian can prove otherwise, whether from Harvard, Stanford, Yale, or Timbuktu, Kalamazoo, Community College, wherever else. It don't matter. They haven't proven in 400 years and never will. Until the falling away, that's a whole different ballgame. But then it still won't change the truth, but the truth will be covered over by the falling away, unfortunately. Only God knows when that's going to happen. When you take God as your Savior now, you don't have to worry about it. Lord, we come today before you in prayer. In the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, we dedicate, Father, this first program this week, Father, to your service. Lord, we thank you for this opportunity that you've brought to us. Lord, we pray in your name, in your Son's name, and we bring to you, Lord, the work that we put forth. We thank you, Father, for opportunities you've given us in divine appointments, the wisdom you give to us, Lord, and discernment. And Lord, we do pray for this discernment. We pray for wisdom aside from this world, but Father, holy wisdom coming from the Holy Spirit, wisdom from the Bible, wisdom from you, Lord, that is being held back from us by this world, distractions that keeps us tied up and busy, and works of the flesh that keeps us pulled away. Father, we call upon you, Lord, to touch our hearts and guide us on the right path. We pray, Father, for an awakening, for knowledge to be let out about this, what they're doing to our veterans, about the drugs given to our children, the drugs given to the veterans are psychotropic that are causing changes in their bodies and changes in their minds, causing possessions to take place. Father, these drugs, we call upon you to render them null and void. They don't work anymore. Father, to set up divine appointments, to lead these troops away, lead these children away from these drug effects, and expose this fallacy about ADHD, expose these diagnostics coming from these fraudulent so-called experts. Lord, we call upon you to bring to forth the truth about these maladies, infirmities, to expose them for the lies that they are. Lord, we need supernatural power coming from you, Lord, because today this world is deceived. Father, we call upon you to bring truth to this world, to raise up those to have the courage to speak the truth, give them the opportunity, the ability to speak out. And Father, we pray for protection as we bring that word out, Lord, but to raise your army, your army of watchmen, your army of truth tellers, Lord, the real truth tellers, to raise those in the church, in the churches, to start speaking the truth out away from the controls of the governments. Father, we need that, not a famine of the word, but Father, an abundance of the word. Father, we call upon you to bless us this week as we have our broadcasts and Bible studies. Father, convict us if we fall away and our thoughts. Lord, you convict us about our thoughts so we can repent of those thoughts that are not pleasing. That's why we pray, Father, in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, and thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Now I got a little, well, I don't know, we'll see. Surprises for you, maybe. And maybe they're not. I think they are. But we'll see how that works. I'm going to talk about the solidarity in Europe going on in France. The alleged, 12 killed and all that. Whoa. ISIS. Right. And Al-Qaeda, that is ISIS, and ISIS Al-Qaeda. So if Al-Qaeda never existed, how is it that ISIS exists? Oh, I'll prove that. Or somebody's lying. Either way, I'll prove they're lying no matter what. Here shortly. Now, my regular listeners, I ask you to bear with me today. You're going to hear some recordings that you've heard before, but I'm going to pound them at you today, and I'm going to tie some ends together that you haven't heard before. None of you have. So I have to show you some things you've heard before to lay this groundwork for the things you haven't heard today or before. Not just throw something at you without connecting the dots. And I can do that. I'll tell you why. Because the dots are connected. This is one conspiracy with many different facets. It's like a spider web. And you virtually can just pick any part of the web and it's all connected to the next. I mean literally. You will not find one conspiracy. As a matter of fact, while I'm talking, you can look up 33 conspiracy theories that proved to be true. Or 10 conspiracy theories that proved to be true. 17, whatever. You got different numbers. And you'll find they're all connected. Amazing. They try to separate them, but they're all connected. Bar none. I mean, literally, bar none. No exception. Not one. Now, that should get your attention. And Freemasons, that should get your attention, too. And I say keep saying Freemasons because you're the foot soldier of the Illuminati. Since, actually, July the 12th, 1782, at the Congress of Wilhelmsbad. Wilhelmsbad, the Illuminati and the Freemasons married in a permanent relationship until even today. It lasts throughout 1782 till now. So they can control you through the other secret societies. You're nothing but foot soldiers. You do the bidding because you have to. You're the slaves. You have no choice because of your blood oath. When you're convicted of something you're doing that's not right, you have to do it anyway. Because you swore to God to do what's wrong. Even though you know it's wrong, it's taking somebody's personal information for a fellow brother in some other place so they could find out about him. That's wrong. No matter how you cut the mustard, no matter how you justify the ends justify the means, that's all baloney. It's a lie, crap, garbage, nonsense. You can never justify doing something wrong. No way. Now, you can on TV because it's in the script. The brainwashing mechanism called TV? Yeah. It works really well. Y'all thought you were out of school when you finished high school and others went to college. You thought you were out of school, right? No. You watch TV, it's still the same thing. You're being taught through the music, young kids' video games, TV, newspapers, are all controlled through the Council of Foreign Relations. And they design it through social engineers. Psychological engineers through Tavistock to brainwash us, and they have, and that's an absolute fact. Please try to prove it otherwise. Oh, try, please, because you will fail. Tavistock set up the control of changes of cultures since 1921. Council of Foreign Relations has set up, killed all of our veterans, everyone. World War II and Korea and Vietnam. Squarely blamed on the Council of Foreign Relations. I got it documented. That's a fact. Joint Chief of Staff. Coordinate. Work with the Council of Foreign Relations. Now that sounds kind of strange, don't it? Well, it doesn't when you find out the Joint Chief of Staff, a lot of their members, are Rhodes Scholars or Knights of Malta, Knights of Columbus, or others just one-star, two-star, three-stars, or birds that don't want to lose their career, so they just be quiet. and they do what their little boys are supposed to do, so they get to retirement. And yet they still do those evil things that's going to bother them later, but they don't care because they're worried about their careers. You have some that are brave. Some of them die, too. Car accidents, plane crash. This is not TV. This is real. George Patton happened to him. Six SEAL team members were killed. We'll get to that later. You'd be surprised. 26 suicides per day of our veterans. Every day, 22 to 26, and that's probably lowballing it, is being orchestrated by our government, working for the CIA, with CIA working for the Illuminati, working for the Vatican, the Jesuits, murderers. They are. Everything I tell you, I give the details, not a problem. Now, we had this past weekend a very interesting development in Paris. 3 million people are marching. 3 million, so they say. Heck, if it's 100,000, that's quite a few. So they say 3 million, whatever. But a whole bunch of people. Because of ISIS, because of the Muslims, right? Islam. So they're marching. So what do we got here? Let's see. We had a front page picture showing all the heads of states arm in arm. French foreign leaders walk arm in arm as millions protest Paris attacks. Now this I find very interesting. Now, let me get there. All right, now, so I want to now get through this. This is quite interesting. French foreign leaders walk arm in arm as millions protest the Paris attacks. What attacks? Well, Paris, 12 were killed allegedly by two, now maybe four involved, and killed 12 people, Muslims. Now, how many attacks have occurred? For this, and all of a sudden, now you got France. If anything, they should be protesting the amount of food they get in their place, which is about nothing at the restaurants. They're getting cheated. But here they are, marching in Paris. Look at the picture. My gosh. Look at there. Like the Pope is going to appear there. So, I mean, it's like the whole square is filled up with heads, man. You don't even see the bodies. You see the heads of people. 100,000 looks like in one square. How do they do that? Yeah, well, you ever heard of the computer? Facebook? Oh, I got articles coming out about that. That, you know, your flash mobs that you see, all the cute little, you know, Christmas caroling flash mob or some other cute little flash. That was practice. They use that as practice. You understand this, right? The Facebook, MySpace, all that. They do it, bam, just like that. They get up. And I told people a long time ago that they were going to start violence with that. Right now it's practice. All the cute little things is practice. All the warm and fuzzy little flash mobs. I said, hey, you watch. I said, don't let people. People know me. You verify. Several years ago I said, you watch. All this is practice for a bigger picture. I guess about 3 months ago it started. It started hitting like 7-Elevens and malls and stuff. Flash mob turning violent. I said, there you go. That's all violence. So that's how they get everybody together. They've been practicing recall kind of thing on a massive scale. Computer is not of God. No question about that. Now you see us being used. That's how they do it. It's not that, you know, 3 million people, solidarity. France is about the most lamest country in the world. That's about as not aggressive as you can get. Conforming is a way of life for these people. Nonviolent, I mean, whatever, you know. And now they're marching, something's not right. And so all your world leaders are there too, hand in hand. We walk together. Oh, that is so dramatic. Oh, look at there. So, oh my gosh, it says 3.7 million took part in the silent marches through the country, silent marches. Yeah. Isn't that funny how they can have 3.7 million silent marches? And in Ferguson, man, you got cops in the middle dressed like protesters being violent too, pretending. I wonder what about that? Anyway, oh, absolutely true. Yeah, that's how they do it. Here you got 3.7 million silent marches. Not one punch is thrown, as far as I know. Respectful silence. How'd that happen? How about that? How'd they do that? Boy, that's something. They don't send the experts over here to America and teach us how to walk silently, you know? 3.7 million? How many people do you think live in Ferguson? That's amazing, isn't it? Doesn't sound like a little something funny going on, don't it? And so, the attackers, two French-born brothers of Algerian origin, of course, singled out weekly for its publications of cartoons and depicting, ridiculing the Prophet Muhammad. Oh, the Prophet Muhammad. Oh, yeah. Well, the Prophet Muhammad was trained in about the 10th century by the Vatican. Whoa, how about that? And Islam was created from a religion. Islam was created by the Vatican in the 6th century. How about those apples for you? Huh? Yeah, Zionism was created by the Vatican in the 19th century. That's fact too, Theodore Herzl. Nazism, wait a minute. Nazism was created by the Vatican, Frank Nietzsche. Fascism, Ritter. Communism, Karl Marx, came through the Vatican. Clinton Roosevelt passed a document to Karl Marx to write the Communist Manifesto from Clinton Roosevelt, ancestor to FDR, to Manzini, who was Italian, not Jew, Italian. All this is connected, and the Vatican's in the middle of it, the murdering Jesuits in the Vatican, controlled by the Illuminati, Italian, not Jews. No! Wake up, darn it. Not Jews. It is Italian, Illuminati, and German. Called the Roman Empire. Oh, we're getting there. Listen to every word I'm saying right now because I'm leading you up to something. I'm dropping little hints along the way. The Holy Roman Empire. Don't forget nothing I've said today because everything's tied in. Daniel's prophecy is coming true. The dream of the statue, gold, silver, bronze, and the iron with iron and clay at the feet. It's coming true. We're at the base of that. How did he know that 2,500 years ahead of time? How did he do that? Almost 3,000 years. How did he do that? That's amazing. Coming true today. Right there on the front page of the news. When you look at the front page and you see these wacko leaders, man. French President I took French about 2 weeks, and I told the French instructor, man, you got to get me out of here back in Spanish, man. It's French. I can't deal with it. I could speak French worth a hoot. French President Hollande, surrounded by heads of states, and just list them. He's got Germany. He's got all of them. When you look at that picture, and you studied Daniel, that's exactly what you're looking at right there in that picture. See, the Roman Empire Is the legs, the feet of iron and clay? The Roman Empire was taken apart from the inside, split up, and went to the German, Swiss, French, Italian, English, Portuguese, and Spanish. Divided. And they're trying to bring it back together, the whole Roman Empire. It's a new world order. It's called the UN. You ever heard of it before? And before that was the League of Nations, was the first attempt. That is the basis of the image, the statue that Nebuchadnezzar described to Daniel, and Daniel already knew it, described to him who it was. Babylon, the golden, the head, gold head, with Babylon, Nebuchadnezzar. Then went from 605 B.C. to 539 B.C. Then Babylon fell to the Medo-Persian Empire, led by Cyrus the Great, at 539, countdown, to 331 B.C. 331 B.C. was conquered by Greece, led by Macedonian, Alexander the Greek, the Great. 331 B.C. to 168 B.C. He ruled with one of the greatest military commanders ever was. He was the bronze. Greece was the belly and the thigh of bronze. They used weapons that were made of bronze, by the way. And then on June the 22nd, 168 B.C., at the Battle of Pydna, the kingdom of Alexander fell. About 144 years from the death of Alexander, fell under the Iron Monarchy of Rome. Rome ruled from 168 B.C., after the Christians, big time, to 476 A.D., Rome ruled. Talks about it in Daniel. The fourth kingdom shall be as strong as iron breaks in pieces and shatters everything. Iron can crush gold and silver and bronze. Rome was the greatest empire of antiquity of all time. Jesus was even crucified during this period of time on a Roman cross. 31 A.D., thereabout. But Jerusalem was destroyed in 70 A.D. as Jesus Christ predicted 70 years earlier. By Rome. Rome was a leg of irons. Who conquered Rome? Well, Daniel 2:41 says that the fourth kingdom shall be divided. Rome was not conquered from outside, but was destroyed from within. It's called a fifth column strategy. It was taken apart from inside. Divided Rome was the feet and toes, partly of iron and partly of clay. And know that the feet had 10 toes. Rome was divided by 10 tribes. And those 10 tribes are right there on the front page of that picture. Right there they are. Now, isn't that a hoot? You want to call that a coincidence? You go on ahead. Have at it, man. Just have at it. That is the heads of state that went to that march. Represent the 10 toes. And it's made of smelly feet, too. They're all smelly. And if any of them don't repent, they're all going to hell. It's very simple. We're headed that path, family, to end times events. Now, this thing about the, marching because, they attacked this, killed those 12 people for the cartoons and all that. And then 3.7 million people form up in the square and march. And then here comes the head of state, the 10 toes of Daniel's prophecy. I won't say that again. This is amazing stuff. Really amazing. Well, here's the most funny part to this. Not funny, really, because of the seriousness of it and so forth and so on. Oh, by the way, some 2,200 police and soldiers patrol Paris streets to protect marchers from would-be attackers. Yeah, right. With police snipers on rooftops and plainclothes detectives mingling with the crowd. Okay. You had Merkel, British, David Cameron, Italy, 44 other leaders, and so forth, with Hollande. All arm in arm, hand in hand. Well, now, here comes something else. Oh, by the way, guess who weren't there? With my Jeopardy theme. Da, 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 da. Obama wasn't there. Now, I could just sit here and talk about Obama, a Muslim, because it's about Muslims, right? So Obama allegedly is not going because he's, they say, Muslim. He's not a Muslim. He's a light worker. He's a Luciferian like Bush and Carter and Clinton and FDR and Reagan, that liar, and Nixon, that liar, and every other one, Gerald Ford, the whole darn lot of them, are Luciferians. That's a fact. And they're also cousins. That's amazing. Cheney, Romney, they're all liars, and they're all part of the Luciferian agenda. And they're all cousins, by the way. They're cousins. That's amazing, isn't it? Amazing. Obama, too, through his mother, in vitro, you might want to call it. And he's not even black anyway. He's Egyptian. He's not black. Now, so the betrayal is, and what I'm supposed to do as a radio broadcaster, I am a radio broadcaster, and I'm supposed to say, well, Obama didn't show because he's not, you know, want to keep him from being assassinated, or he's Muslim, and Obama's evil and all this, and that's what I'm supposed to say, you know. But that's not the purpose. You see, the real reason he didn't show was to play the role of the bad guy, as he's told to do. Putin is told you're going to play the role of the good guy. You see, and that's what he's doing. They're controlled by the Vatican, all of them. See, all these military leaders, heads of state, no exception, not one exception, not one. All work together. Putin, Obama, Merkel, they all are like little partiers together. You understand this? So Obama's told, you don't show. Play the role. Play the part of the Muslim. You know, for example, in Bush's second term, he was told, you know, make it look good, to act stupid in the second term. He's not stupid at all. Bush is smart, man. He's smart. They're all smart. But they play a role. Obama, since the day he was probably before high school, was picked for this job. Colin Powell was too, but Obama got the bid for it for whatever reason. I think they pulled Colin Powell out because of his wife. Something. I don't know. I ain't going there. But you got to list facts of Obama's socialist past has been set up and carefully orchestrated, just like Clinton was orchestrated, that liar, going through the, bringing the drugs in from Arkansas, killing off people that know, it's all set up. From the day he shook hands with JFK in 1961, 62, he knew he was going to be president eventually, as appointed. You understand what I'm saying here? These are all in the same bloodline. They're all picked ahead of time, and they're appointed as presidents, and you Americans are being lied to that your votes count. They do not. Well, I have the evidence. I have their own objectives saying they will control both parties. They'll control the election process of every country because they put their family members in control. Now, Barack Obama, being the pseudo-Muslim, as he's portrayed to be, is playing the part, as he's told to by the Vatican, who's controlled by the Italian Illuminati. Do you understand this? Let me give you another heads up on that. Watch this. For example, I have documented in, oh gosh, about five or six, seven, I don't know, I've lost track of count, organizational charts of the Illuminati. And they all say the same thing. Did you know that under the Illuminati, the CIA, the FBI, NSA, program echelon, the USA, KGB, Mossad, BND in Germany. It's the same intelligence group in Germany. The DGSC in France. Hello. The British intelligence, MI5, MI6, SIS. The Communist Party hierarchy. The Red Brotherhood. Interpol, Europol. Drug cartel heads. Yeah, the criminals. Yeah, hello, mafia. Mafia, well, there you go. Organized crime. FEMA. Secret Services of Pakistan. And confirmed, by 1993, the CIA and ISI was working with Saudi intelligence, Iranian intelligence, Turkish intelligence, to bring the jihad to Bosnia. They all work together. Every one of them work together, making you think they don't. I got a list right here. They all work together. You got it? They play a role in front of your face. Putin setting up for World War III. That's all part just for you to jerk us around here, just to be quite pinly about it. Because behind closed doors, it's like two divorce lawyers. You ever had a divorce lawyer? You got your divorce lawyer, and she got her divorce lawyer. Reality, they work together, and they think both of you are nuts. But they act like the two lawyers are against each other. Where reality, when they're away from you, they have drinks together and talk about it. Family, you're being lied to by the heads of state. You're being lied to by the secret society members. You're being lied to by this organizational membership of this New World Order. All of them work together. Now, well, I can show you all of education group, intelligence group, religious, political. I got the list of all their organizations. Banking, secret societies. Oh, man, we've been so messed up. Illuminati and the different organizations they got. But right back to intelligence agencies. They work together. Now, what they don't realize, and the CIA would probably laugh if they heard me say this, but, FBI and NSA, ATF, but it's a fact that they're going to eliminate the FBI, ATF, and the FBI, ATF, will be eliminated as dummy corporations once the Great White Brotherhood has total control. They won't need them anymore. They don't want them anymore. They'll use them up, and the FBI will be disbanded, and the agents will be taken out by the Illuminati. It will happen. Nobody's going to believe me right now, but I'm very comfortable in telling you. It's documented in their own objectives that they're going to take out the FBI. They're going to disband it when the Great White Brotherhood has total control. They won't need you all anymore. Or the Freemasons. That's how they work. It's a promise. They're going to do it. But not until they have total control. Now, back to Obama not showing. I got off. Sorry. I got sometimes take little rabbit trails. Now, if y'all don't believe me, please ask me or do your own research. You'll find it to be true. Now, watch this. Zakaria Manoumi, a 34-year-old Franco-Moroccan draped in the French flag, agreed, quote, "I am here to show the terrorists they have not won. It is bringing people together of all religions." Uh-oh. Uh-oh. Oh. How about that? One instant brings everybody together. The Pope is trying to bring all the religions together. I hope some people that know what's going on said, "Oh my gosh, did he really say that?" I'll say, "Yeah, he did." This is about not about some terrorist attack. This is about bringing people together. We're close. We're close to the New World Order of becoming public knowledge. And you'll want it. They've got 3.7 million people forming together in France. America, get ready. A big thing's coming. They're going to blame it on the Muslims. Oh, the Muslims are the enemy. There's no question about that. But the radical Muslims, because the Wahhabi brand of radical Islam was created, listen to me now, by the Vatican to destroy the Muslims from within. Zionism was created by Theodor Herzl through the Vatican to destroy the Jews, the descendants of Ishmael, descendants of Isaac. This is how it works. Protestantism, 16th century, Martin Luther. He was a Jesuit. So was John Calvin, that murderer. They lied, family. They were created, the division of the Protestant movement. They were closet Jesuits to justify the Reformation movement. On purpose, working with the Vatican behind closed doors. To justify using Hegelian dialectic. That's how they work. They had to create Protestantism so that the Protestants or those that rejected Roman Catholicism would have a religion to go to and move to the United States. That was a purpose. So to chase them out, then anti-Reformation. It's all planned out, even till today. This is how it works. Now, this whole thing is to bring people together under the New World Order. This is an attempt, a test. So now to really kind of throw it in, here we go. The title is White House Should Have Sent High Official to Paris March. Oh, man, they really play this up, don't they? You got old Kerry there. There's Kerry. He's a skull and bones guy. So is his cousin Bush. Yeah, and Romney. They're all cousins. Kerry, they're all cousins. Playing their dadgum cotton-picking roles. Lying to the American people. 322, skull and bones secret number, which is Genesis 322. The Obama administration was represented Sunday by U.S. Ambassador to France, through Attorney General Eric Holder, was in Paris for security meetings. Well, the play is, we don't want him to get assassinated since he's Muslim. So we're not going to let him go over. Well, that's all a lie anyway. He's playing the role of a pseudo-Muslim. Getting ready for that military coup there, aren't you there, generals, huh? The one that Jerry Boykin and Rick Joyner are calling out for? Oh, yeah. So you got to show that we have a division in our own country, don't we? How do y'all sleep at night? Anyway, I don't see how those members of the Council of Foreign Relations and the generals that are these secret society members, how do you sleep? How do you do it? Oh, the ends justify the means. I got it. So there you have it. To me, this is amazing. On the front page there, the picture, right in the front line, is fulfillment of that image of that statue, Nebuchadnezzar, that Daniel told him the meaning of it. It's right there. That's it. That's the 10 toes. That's amazing. Right there is the evidence. And you know, to keep us divided, check this out. This is kind of a little bit of a rabbit hole, but actually not. January 11th, 2015. Oh my, that was yesterday. Ah, amazing, huh? The title of the article is Why the New York State Police and D.C. Fear the Oath Keepers. Now, family, who are the Oath Keepers? Don't you have probably veterans in Oath Keepers, you think? Maybe a few veterans there. They've been in Iraq and Afghanistan. Now, New York State Police and D.C. State Police, do you think maybe, just possibly, this is crazy, of course you do, that there's some veterans in the State Police, too, that went to Afghanistan and Iraq? And you State Police guys, why are you letting this happen? You Oath Keepers, why are you letting this happen? Surely you're all too smart for this. And so the State Police, Americans, or Fear of Oath Keepers, Americans, both have been to Iraq and Afghanistan fighting against the Muslims, and yet now you come back here and you're fighting each other. Are you all that stupid out there? Really, are you? Or is that blood oath keeping you tied up and all tied in? Is that it? You know, the Civil War, we lost a 500,000 Americans fighting each other. And you know why? Doggone it, you know why we fought? Our ancestors fought each other in the Civil War? Do you know why? I'll let Lincoln tell you. Quote, "This war would never have been possible without the sinister influence of the Jesuits. We owe it to popery that we now see our land reddened with the blood of our noble sons. Though there were great differences of opinion between the South and the North on the questions of slavery, neither Jeff Davis nor any one of the leading men of the Confederacy would have dared to attack the North had they not relied on the promise of the Jesuits that under the mask of democracy, the money and the arms of Roman Catholics, even the arms of France, were at their disposal if they would attack us." Unquote. Lincoln, Charles Chickney, 50 years in the Church of Rome. You want to challenge that? Oh, go ahead, please do. And so the CFR, according to December the 9th, 1950, Chicago Tribune, is also responsible for all the deaths of World War II and Korea. So you lost, say, a grandfather, World War II. Blame it on the CFR. Blame it on the Pope. Blame it on the Jesuits, as confirmed right here. Because they had French on the side of the South. They had Germans on the side of the North. How much more do you need? You want to march? You march against the CFR. Close that sucker down. But no, you're not going to. Y'all are going to fight each other, oath keepers and the state police. That's the dumbest thing I've ever heard in my entire life. Absolutely dumb. Ignorant. That you state police are worried about the oath keepers when you both probably fought in Iraq and Afghanistan with each other against an enemy that I'm going to show you is going to blow your mind who the Muslims really are. You got people there that really care that don't understand what I'm telling you even to this day. They don't understand what's really going on. Do you think that if the North and the South, the Civil War, knew that the Jesuits were promoting that war, that we'd have fought each other for that reason? No. They used liberty, slavery, states' rights, to galvanize with the lying Jesuits there to promote it, Freemasons to push it, like they did in the Revolutionary War. Not, but go on ahead. Go on, just go ahead and go it. Do it. Kill each other off. Fight each other, even though you fought an enemy in the Middle East. Come over here, you fight each other. I mean, that's completely, absolutely stupid. Quote, "Oath Keepers is a nonpartisan association," looky here, quote, "of military, veterans, and peace officers who will honor their oaths to defend the Constitution," which is in existence. It doesn't exist today. It was rendered null and void 1938 under a federal court case. "Will not just follow orders, will stand for liberty, and will save the Republic. So help us God, our motto is, not on our watch." Da-da-da-da-da. You go, you see there? "We will not obey orders to disarm the American people," and so forth and so on. Well, why the state police, would they be on our side too? What's the deal here? What's going on? You see the absurdity of it all? I can't get over this. It is the dumbest thing I've ever heard in my entire life. I'm a former U.S. Marine. I joined for one reason. That was to fight. I didn't join for any other reason. I love my country and all that sort of thing. But I got to deal in reality. I'm sorry. And I ain't going to follow on some kind of a, you know, sheep direction. You understand? France mobilizes 10,000 troops at home after Paris shootings. So what you have here, old Netanyahu, He was not even Jew anyway. He's Ashkenazi, Khazar. You got others in front there are marching in support of against the Muslims, when in reality, they're ahead of controlling the Muslim Muslim terrorist. So they're marching against it. At the same time, their intelligence agencies are controlling it. Isn't that a hoot? What a bunch of liars, man. The ten toes. I call it smelly feet of iron and clay. Oh, I got some evidence for you coming up. Huh? I guess, I'm not just blowing smoke here, people. I'm not blowing smoke. Yeah, I got something coming at you here shortly. A few minutes. You're going to love this, too. I'm saying it this way so I won't get too ticked off. Because it just torques my jaw that none of y'all got I got to watch what I say. Don't have the backbone on the side of Oath Keepers or the side of state police. You all guys down there say, wait, what are we doing this for? Wait, hold on a minute. Freemason, shut up. Now, and you stand up for the truth. The Freemasons take a blood oath to lie. So you can count them out. A judge that's a Freemason or Knights of Malta, Knights of Columbus, Rhodes Scholar, or Wiccan, or, which I know a couple wound to Georgia that are Wiccan, or actually warlocks, literally on the bench. That's a bench for you, huh? Oh, yeah, absolutely. And you trust him? You tell him to shut up. We're going to take care of business here and come back together and not do another civil war. But no, you're not going to do it. You're not going to do it. You're not going to renounce the blood oath. You're not obligated to God because of blood oath when you renounce it. You're out of it. That blood oath means nothing. You renounce it, ask God to forgive you. You are free. You are free. But you're not going to do it. Amazing. That's amazing. You know, I realize this today, that all those in the front, just about all of them in the front, are 10 toes, pretty much. About 90%. That's your iron and clay right there. Of the New World Order. Prophesied by Daniel almost 3,000 years ago. That's amazing. That's absolutely amazing. And then the part here about the Oath Keepers that right there in military and all that, or and the state police in D.C. fear the Oath Keepers. Why? Who y'all going to let this happen? Okay, it's time to lay the hammer down. All right. Let's lay the hammer down. Now, if you all could go to TalkStream Live and get a chance here, TalkStreamLive.com, TalkStreamLive, oneword.com, and click on my picture. Go to my page and click that little bar that goes to the right of it. I'd appreciate that. Everybody do that. I want to see if I'm getting out today or if I'm just blowing smoke at five people listening. I don't know. I never know who's listening or what. I just do it because God put in my heart to do what I got to do and say what I got to say. If I got 10 people listening, all right. If I got 200 listening, all right. If I got 10,000 listening, whatever. All right. If I got 5, whatever. God put me here, I'm going to do it, whoever's listening. If it's just one person, I just make copies of this thing and send it on out and let God take care of the rest. Whatever. I got to do what I got to do. That's how I see it nowadays. Because I know what the dickens is going on. But now let's just lay it out. Watch this. Now, you regular listeners, just bear with me here. But I've already told you some things you haven't heard before. But now you're going to hear some recordings of things you have heard before. But I've got them in a certain order. And we'll get through this. Now, if I don't get through to the gun control and what the Bible says about gun control, I get it tomorrow. But I'm going to talk about that. But we'll see here. I have more commentary today than I thought I was going to have at this point. But I got really excited when I realized that the Daniel's prophecy was right there on the front page of the news. That's it. That's the the divided 10 tribes of Europe coming together. That's the prophecy. Anyway. All right, here we go. Now, so they're marching against ISIS, right? And the attack and all that sort of thing. Knowing that the Vatican created Islam in the first place. Knowing the Vatican created the Muslim Brotherhood of Wahhabi, Muslim Brotherhood in the 1920s. Albana was a Freemason. Egyptian Freemason. He created Muslim Brotherhood, Wahhabi, to destroy Islam from the inside. Fifth column. Yeah. That's true. All right. And the CIA, Mossad, Saudi intelligence, MI5, MI6, a whole bunch of them work with the Muslim terrorist. Huh? All right. You want evidence? Hey, buckle up.
We also have a history of kind of moving in and out of Pakistan. I mean, let's remember here, the people we are fighting today, we funded 20 years ago. And we did it because we were locked in this struggle with the Soviet Union. They invaded Afghanistan, and we did not want to see them control Central Asia. And we went to work. And it was President Reagan, in partnership with the Congress, led by Democrats, who said, you know what, sounds like a pretty good idea. Let's deal with the ISI and the Pakistani military, and let's go recruit these Mujahideen, and let's great. Let's get some to come from Saudi Arabia and other places, importing their Wahhabi brand of Islam so that we can go beat the Soviet Union. And guess what? They retreated. They lost billions of dollars, and it led to the collapse of the Soviet Union. So there's a very strong argument, which is it wasn't a bad investment to end the Soviet Union, but let's be careful what we sow because we will harvest. So we then left Pakistan. We said, okay, fine, you deal with the stingers that we've left all over your country. You deal with the mines that are along the border. And by the way, we don't want to have anything to do with you. In fact, we're sanctioning you. So we stopped dealing with the Pakistani military and with ISI, and we now are making up for a lot of lost time.
Ooh, she lies. You see, the pullout of the Soviets, the Soviet Union never disbanded. That's a lie that Reagan said. He's the biggest liar. He's an actor. Family, you keep electing actors like Ventura, that liar, and professional wrestlers are liars. They're actors. Man, come on. Reagan, Sonny Bono, you're putting Hollywood people in your... It's a joke. What are you doing? The Freemasons, too. Anyway, so the pullout by the Soviets is all planned through the Vatican. The purpose of Afghanistan was to build the jihad to be used in Kosovo. And for now, and everybody working together, the intelligence agencies, to build that next threat. Because the fake loss of communism needs another enemy. What was one? Enemy was Nazism, fascism, done, World War II. Need another one. Communism. Okay, all through Korean War, we made sure China remained communist when we blockaded Chiang Kai-shek. We caused the death of our own troops. CFR did. Those murderers at CFR, man, and the Jesuits was responsible for the death of all of our soldiers in Korea and in World War II. You go to the Arlington Cemetery and you look at the dead in World War II, all of them, you count on the Council of Foreign Relations of being in has been responsible for that, directly, not indirectly, but directly, and Vietnam, and Korea, but on them, and Popery. That's an absolute fact, by design. They wanted them dead, like the Agent Orange, by design to give them cancer, by design. They sent glycerol to the Soviet Union in 1966, the factory plans, so they could build a glycerol factory in the Soviet Union to give it to the VC to kill our own troops. Oh, I got this documented. Yeah. Now you got it. It's all planned that way. So they need another enemy. Communism departed in 1987. They already set up Afghanistan. to set up the jihad for the Muslim terrorists that's going on today. It's all designed in a clever scheme of Hegelian dialectic. 1961, Iron Mountain Report. It's called Fictitious Alternate Enemies. It is documented. Yeah, buddy. I am just getting warmed up. All right, ready? Number two.
So if you think if we walked away from this, didn't give them money today, it would be worse for us from a security standpoint.
I do. We're building a relationship that just did not exist. I said in our last trip when you were with me that we had a huge trust deficit, in part because the United States had, to be fair, we had helped to create the problem we're now fighting.
How?
Because when the Soviet Union invaded Afghanistan, we had this brilliant idea that we were going to come to Pakistan and create a force of Mujahideen, equip them with Stinger missiles and everything else to go after the Soviets inside Afghanistan. And we were successful. The Soviets left Afghanistan, and then we said, great, goodbye, leaving these trained people who were fanatical in Afghanistan and Pakistan, leaving them well armed, creating a mess, frankly, that at the time we didn't really recognize. We were just so happy to see the Soviet Union fall, and we thought, okay, fine, we're okay now, everything's going to be so much better. Now you look back, the people we're fighting today, we were supporting in the fight against the Soviets.
Family, I was in Kosovo 5 years as security manager, eastern region of Kosovo. And in my region, we had the first election of Kosovars and Albanians in my region, because I ran it with an iron fist. You darn right I did. And so I had the first region with the first elections of Kosovo that I set up myself as security, about 300 to 500 Europeans to run elections the first time in Kosovo. I maintained a close relationship with Russian intelligence, Italian Carabinieri, others, UN guys, that kept me informed, and I kept them informed. The Stinger missiles came into my region. The Soviet intelligence, Russian intelligence and Carabinieri said, sir, we got, I have my own little thing going on my own, which I wasn't supposed to do. But I do things I'm not supposed to do because I got to do them. I did anyway. Have my own little network going on and sit maps. 1 to 50,000. I knew where the terrorist organizations were. I knew where the training camps were. I even had the names of Russian Albanian mafia in my region. Had their whole doggone cockpit, a lot of it. Well, they brought Stinger missiles in. And our own government, the State Department, allowed 12 Chechens to come in through the Pristina airport without being checked. The Chechens got in without being checked. Russians were really concerned about that, I guess. They were Muslims, terrorists, coming into Kamenitsa. I had a problem with it, too. Americans tried to keep it quiet, but I found out and told the Russians, you're dead gum right, I did. Now, Stinger missiles came into my region, too. I had a problem with that. Same ones that she's talking about. Confirmed. I got the reports brought back with me. Says Hillary said the same thing in two different interviews, right? How about General McClerny? How about that General McClerny? McClerny, whatever. How about this? Watch this.
It's going to show some of those weapons from Benghazi ended up in the hands of ISIS. So we helped build ISIS. Now, there's a danger there. And
say what? Run that by me again? What did you say, General McCurney?
It's going to show some of those weapons from Benghazi ended up in the hands of ISIS. So we helped build ISIS. Now, there's a danger there. And
well, thank you, General. I'm glad you told me that twice. Y'all got that? How about that? Now, what about this one? You're going to love this one. It really makes a lot of sense. CIA. Here's a CIA guy. Huh?
We're sitting down with Michael Scheuer, the man who had served in the CIA for more than 20 years, up until 2004. At one time, he was the chief of the CIA Bin Laden unit. Then he went and exposed how counter-effective Washington's methods were in the fight against terror. He looked at the U.S. through its enemy's eyes. In fact, it's the title of one of his books called Through Our Enemy's Eyes. I'm very pleased to have the chance to interview you,
Thank
Mr. Scheuer.
I'm glad to be here.
Bin Laden is gone. Who is Washington's number one enemy now?
Washington's enemy is an enemy that doesn't exist. We're fighting an Islamic enemy that Washington believes is out to kill us because we have elections, because we're free, because we have women in the workplace. It's an enemy that doesn't exist. It didn't exist when Bin Laden was alive. It doesn't exist now. America is being attacked because of its foreign policy in the Muslim world, because of its support for Israel, because of its support for the Saudi police state, because of its presence on the Arab Peninsula. And until we accept that, until Americans can say to each other, whether you support aid to Israel or not, our relationship with Israel is causing this war, we are not going to be able to defeat this enemy. And Israel itself, as a country, is not the problem. The real problem is the leaders of the Jewish American community in the United States who influence and corrupt our Congress to support Israel when we have no interest there.
You imply that the Israeli lobby is dragging the United States into the wars, into
absolutely.
The conflicts?
They're absolutely dragging us in. Iraq was a war that was proffered or was called for mainly.
Then let me ask you this. Yeah. The situation in the region, in the wake of all these revolutions in the Middle East and North Africa,
yes.
You can pretty much describe it as turmoil. Turmoil is no good for Israel. What you're saying?
Well, the American political establishment is caught between two things. They're extremely pro-Israel, and they're almost Marxist in their belief that democracy
bingo.
And the spread of democracy is inevitable in all places, in all peoples, at all times. And so they need to protect the Israelis, but they can't say what is a reality. For example, there is not going to be a democracy in Tunisia or Libya or Egypt.
Okay, he goes on and on about all that. There you go. So what's the truth here? Well, that's the CIA guy right there, right? So how about old Zbigniew Brzezinski, NSA security advisor to like five or six presidents? He's talking to the jihadists in Afghanistan. He's talking to them, the ones that don't exist. Interesting. Zbigniew Brzezinski in the late 70s, are talking to Afghan jihad fighters. We have developed them to bring the jihad to Bosnia and to the world. And I got a video of him and Tim Osman was Osama bin Laden in uniform in the late 70s. And I got a picture of Zbigniew Brzezinski and bin Laden talking in the late 70s and discussed the string of jihads that Zbigniew never regrets. I got a photo of those two guys talking in Afghanistan. Matter of fact, I'm going to let you hear him talk to the ones that don't exist when they're talking about going back to Afghanistan and going to fight. Bin Laden is indoctrinated. And Omar Sheikh get his indoctrination later. Here we go. Man, what a game.
U.S. National Security Advisor Brzezinski flew to Pakistan to set about rallying resistance. He wanted to arm the Mujahideen without revealing America's role. On the Afghan border near the Khyber Pass, he urged the soldiers of God to redouble their efforts.
We know of their deep belief in God, and we are confident that their struggle will succeed. That land over there is yours. You'll go back to it one day because your fight will prevail and you'll have your homes and your mosques back again because your cause is right and God is on your side.
the purpose of coordinating with the Pakistanis will be to make the Soviets bleed for as much as long as is possible.
Now, what's the most important for world history? The Taliban or the fall of the Soviet Empire? Now, some Islamic hotheads, the liberation of Central Europe and the end of the Cold War? That was said, it says now, what is the most important for world history? The Taliban or the fall of the Soviet Empire? Some Islamic hotheads or the liberation of Central Europe and the end of the Cold War? Unquote. La Vivelle of Histoire, interview published 15-21 January 1998. Family, he knew. Brzezinski knew that they would prevail because it was planned that Soviets would pull out once they had formed up the Mujahideen. They got them formed up. They then, after the Soviets left on cue from the Vatican, they had 10,000 Mujahideen move from Afghanistan into Bosnia. Yes, they did. So they got them formed up under the guise of, you see, they lied to them. Brzezinski lied to them. And when they got them formed up, the Vatican then used them to go after Serb Orthodox Christians to finish up what Hitler had started. You heard me right. 1948, Frank Wisner, senior CIA operation in Albania, Operation Fiend, to take over Albania. It failed to happen. So they brought in son of Churchill by the name of Tito, another, there you go. That's where Yugoslavia came from. So once they got that set up, they had to target the Serb Orthodox Christians. The Vatican tried this all along. Hitler failed, so they tried again using us, Americanos, in Serbia. And then working with Milosevic. He was a Freemason. Milosevic was against his own people. We trained him in the State Department in the late 80s as a banker, but he wasn't a banker. The CIA trained him to be a world leader. Give him a little pat, powdered his butt, sent him back to Serbia. And they used the Red Berets, Milosevic did, to attack the Albanians, or the Muslims over there in Bosnia and Herzegovina, to justify us going in and launching attack into Serbia. Oh, what a game we play. And I know for a fact, I've mentioned before, MPRI advisors, military, U.S. military advisors, I know in Macedonia in 2001, I was there. And I'd been given reports of 17 MPRI advisors with the Albanian terrorists and rebels, and then another group of MPRI with the Macedonian forces at the same time, working both sides against each other. I got the report on that, too. I'm tired of these lies, man. I'm not afraid of these people. But you all got to know this. Matter of fact, I got a report right here. I'm going to read you. Quote, not having learned any lessons from the, oh, quote, what? Quote, South Asia Analyst Group, paper number 433, 1993, quote, not having learned any lessons from the sequel of its policy of encouraging fanaticism and pan-Islamism in Afghanistan, and despite the humiliation inflicted on U.S. troops in Somalia by the HUM, H-U-M, 1993, the CIA, quote, asked the ISI, a Pakistani intelligence, to divert part of the dregs, terrorists, of the HUM and the Huji to Bosnia to assist the Muslims there in their fight against the Serbs. The transfer to Bosnia was funded by Saudi intelligence. The arms and ammunition was given by the Iranian intelligence, and leadership and motivation was provided by serving and retired officers of the ISI and Turkish intelligence. Now listen, Omar Sheikh, You will hear this name again. Masterminded the kidnappings of Daniel Pearl of the Wall Street Journal and his jihad experience, we'll say, in Bosnia. Quote, just as bin Laden had in his Afghanistan. From Bosnia, they were diverted to Kosovo by the CIA and therefore again left in the lurch after they had done the USA's hatchet job in the Balkans. After withdrawal of the Soviet troops from Afghanistan, bin Laden spent some time in Saudi Arabia, then took up residence in Khartoum in Sudan, where he was asked to leave in the beginning of 1996 by Sudanese government under U.S. pressure. He approached Rabbani, the president of Afghanistan, to permit them to move over to Afghanistan. Rabbani persuaded Benazir Bhutto, the then prime minister of Pakistan, to let bin Laden shift to Afghanistan. She agreed to do this after consulting Washington, D.C., and bin Laden flew to Peshawar, took up residence in Jalalabad. Musharraf, her director general of military operations, supervised the transfer after the Taliban captured Jalalabad and Kabul September 1996. It shifted him to Kandahar. He gathered around him all the dregs of the Afghan war, there you go, 1980s, as well as a new jihadist from Chechnya. There's the Chechens. Dagestan, the Khars, Xinjiang, southern Philippines, and formed up in 1998 International Islamic Front for Jihad against the U.S. and Israel. What a game we play. Now, remember those names. Bin Laden wears two hats. He's the head of Al-Qaeda, which was exclusively Arab and Saudi-centric organization with a strength of not more than 500 to 600 hardcore members. Really? Now, watch this. All right. Now, bin Laden is dead. What happened to him? Well, let's talk about that for a second, because that has everything to do with what's going on today. Also, what about this? Remember the words we talked about a little while ago.
There was one report that said that you had arranged to send President Musharraf a letter to be sent in the event of your death by assassination, urging him to investigate certain individuals
in
his government. Is that true?
Yes, it is true that I wrote to General Musharraf. I received information from General Musharraf that a friendly country had passed on to them the information that I could be attacked by a gang from the Afghan warlord Baitullah Masood or by...
This is year 2007, David Frost. 2007. Bin Laden allegedly was killed May the 1st, 2011. Really? This interview is 2007.
Hamza bin Laden, the son of Osama bin Laden, or by the Pakistani Taliban in Islamabad, or by a group in Karachi. So I sent back a letter saying that while these groups may be used, I thought it was more important to go after the people who supported them, who organized them, who could possibly be the financiers or the organizers of the finance for those groups. And I named three individuals who I thought were their sympathizers. Now, I understand that I could be wrong and my suspicions could be misplaced, but these are the people that I suspect want to stop the restoration of democracy. They want to stop my return because they know in 1993, when Pakistan was on the brink of being declared a terrorist state, I stopped the rise of terrorism, and they know that I can do it again. So I feel that these are the forces that really want to stop not just me, but the democratic process and the will of the people from triumphing.
And in terms of these three people that you mentioned, were they members of or associated with the government?
Yes, well, one of them is a very key figure in security. He's a former military officer. He's someone that has had dealings with Jaish-e-Mohammed, one of the banned groups, with Maulana Azhar, who was in an Indian jail for decapitating three British tourists and three American tourists. And he also had dealings with Umar Sheikh, the man who murdered Osama bin Laden. Now, I know that having dealings with people does not necessarily mean direct evidence, but I also know that internal security has totally collapsed in Pakistan, and that internal security cannot collapse without there being some blind eye, if not collusion, being turned to the rise of the militants and militancy. Not only are our tribal areas out of our control, but even the beautiful valley of Swat is now under takeover by Islamists. So I would like to see a Pak-led police inquiry assisted by Scotland Yard or the FBI come in, use their forensic and scientific explanation to find out not only...
Now, that was 2007, and we have information passed around that bin Laden was killed 2001. But if anything, he was killed before 2007. That was 4 years before SEAL Team 6 supposedly killed him. May the 1st, which was the anniversary of the New Age Movement, or the World Revolutionary Movement, was May the 1st, 1776. Well, supposedly he died... Bin Laden shot in the head by somebody, SEAL Team 6, May the 1st, 2011, May the 1st. They all go more on dates. Remember dates? Well, it just so happens that several months after this interview, in 2007, after this interview, this happens.
It's late afternoon, and a crowd estimated at a few hundred is swarming around Benazir Bhutto's car. A clean-shaven man in sunglasses is watching at the fringes. He's concealing a gun. The man in white behind him is the suspected suicide bomber. The sniper moves in to within a few feet of Bhutto, who is greeting her supporters. He fires three shots. The last bang is that of the suicide bomber, blowing himself up. 21 people in all were fatally injured here. You can hear their cries of pain and shock. Look at the shooting again. As the gunman fires at Bhutto, her hair is lifted. Her shawl is also seen to rise, and she falls inside her car. These images, broadcast for the first time, apparently contradicting the official version of events, which insists that Benazir Bhutto was not shot.
CIA, ISI took her out. They had to have the boogeyman bin Laden alive to continue the action. SEAL Team 6 took him out May the 1st, right? Supposedly. Well, about that. SEAL Team 6 member who killed bin Laden recall seeing brains of Al-Qaeda leader spilled out all over his face. Really. The unidentified shooter tells Esquire, Aha! magazine, that he has no pension or health benefits. I bet he does now, though. Despite ridding the world of 9/11 monster. That was February 11th, 2013. 2 years after the alleged killing of bin Laden. And here it shows a picture of video of Osama bin Laden watching TV was released after the Al-Qaeda leader was eliminated. Really? Well, I find something quite interesting here in the so-called killing of bin Laden in 2011. movies came out about it to convince the public that it really happened. And all of a sudden, this shooter comes up out of nowhere. But in August the 6th, May the 1st was the alleged killing of bin Laden. May the 1st, 2011. May, June, July, August. 3 months later, oh my, not good. Helicopter crashed in Afghanistan, reportedly killed members of SEAL Team 6. Family in one helicopter. They put 26 SEAL members in one helicopter. And supposedly taken out one time. Insurgents shoot down U.S. military helicopter during fighting in eastern Afghanistan, killing 30 Americans. Most of them belong to the same elite unit as the Navy SEALs who killed former al-Qaeda leader Osama bin Laden. Now, I got a problem with that. Now, maybe it's just me, but something's kind of sticky here. Something's not right. Something's not right. Insurgents shot down U.S. military helicopter during fighting in East Afghanistan, killing 30 Americans, most of them belonging to the same elite unit, the Navy SEALs, who killed former al-Qaeda Osama bin Laden. The deadliest single loss of American forces in decade-old war against Taliban. Taliban, Hamas, al-Qaeda, ISIS, all controlled, don't even exist. They're controlled by the CIA. You understand this? Anyway, one current and one former U.S. official, quote, said the dead included 25 Navy SEALs from SEAL Team 6. The total number of 38 people died in the crash, killing 7 Afghans and 1 interpreter. The death toll would surpass the worst single day loss of life for U.S.-led coalitions in Afghanistan since the war began in 2001. The June 28, 2005 downing of a military helicopter, Eastern Kunar Province, 16 Navy SEALs and Army Special Forces troops were killed. Family, our own government would do that in a heartbeat and not lose a wink of sleep. The New World Order is led by secret societies that control the enemy to set up a Hegelian dialectic so we have something to fight to justify these wars to bring us to a New World Order. This is the reality. You see. So those of you below, you're being used as pawns and you're being lied to. But just keep on at it until it finally wakes you up. It just might be too late. But I have a responsibility to bring this out. Whether people believe it or not, you better do your own research. You better do it quick. Because y'all been taken for fools. On both sides. Now, I can't get much clearer than that. And by their own words, I got the evidence. I got the quotes. I got the testimony. You can all twist it any way you want to. But right there is laid out and you've heard every word of it. You see? What else can I do? Even from a general, McNerney. You can't trust none of these darn generals that belong to the Council of Foreign Relations or the Joint Chief of Staff. Their oath goes to the Vatican. It goes to the CFR. It goes to the Illuminati against you. I don't care if you knew General McClerney or whatever or any of the rest of them at any period of time. You don't know them now. Once they become a secret society member, they no longer are your friend. They will pretend to be like Boykin and Rick Joyner, but they are liars. As a matter of fact, I'm going to play this out.
So things are getting nutty in D.C. and people are concerned about our Constitution and whether or not, you know, we're maintaining the integrity of our Constitution, right?
Absolutely.
Well, Rick Joyner, Pastor Rick Joyner of the Morningstar Ministries, he's genuinely concerned about the disregard for our Constitution, which is why he's praying for God to manufacture a military takeover of the United States government. On a recent TV episode, you know, it's funny, but it's not funny because he's really serious. And he's connected up with some, like, military people. He said this: there's no way our republic can last much longer. It may not last through Obama's second term. There's a glib, almost joyful disregard of the Constitution, a belittling of the Constitution. We're headed for serious tyranny, is what he says. So, Pastor Joyner, please tell us what we can do. I'm concerned about our Constitution, too. What can we do to save it? Let's see what he has to offer.
The kingdom of God is coming. And America is not the kingdom of God. We're not the new Jerusalem. I think we've been used in some wonderful and powerful ways by God. We've been one of the most generous nations in history. We've done so much good. And that's why I appeal to the Lord. Don't let us be totally destroyed. Please raise up those who will save us. And as I've started telling friends for a long time, that no election's going to get the right person in there that can restore us, because the system is so broken, so undermined right now, the whole system. I believe our only hope is a military takeover, martial law, and that the most crucial element of that is who the marshal is going to be. I believe there are noble leaders in our military.
Well, I hope God is watching his little TV station there.
I'm shocked that he would ask for specifically a military takeover. Oftentimes their messages are slightly more subtle.
And even more specifically, he says, I believe that there are noble leaders in our military that love the republic, love everything that we stand for, and they could seize the government. And what's important to him, as he said, is who those people are within the military. So who might those noble marshals be, Pastor Joyner? Well, Rick Joyner is the president of the Oak Initiative, which is, their own website describes them as a grassroots movement to unite, mobilize, equip, and activate Christians. And among the ministers and Christian lobbyists that comprise the 14 board member of the Oak, listed directly below the chair and the president, is retired Army General Jerry Boykin. And this is how Boykin is described in the Oak Initiative's own website. Lieutenant General Boykin was one of the elite warriors chosen in 1978 to make up the first unit in America's ultra-secretive and deadly Delta Force. That's who I want as part of my Christian army.
That's unbelievable. You know, what the hypocrisy here is just egregious, right? So one of the Ten Commandments is, thou shalt not kill, period. It's not, thou shalt not kill unless it's convenient to our political agenda. It's unbelievable, especially to have people that have essentially trained to kill others on their board and on their team.
Besides the fact of the hypocrisy of, they're so concerned about the Constitution that they want to usurp the Constitution. So on a recent show, General Boykin and Pastor Joyner discussed the excitement that the end times were near, and that the only thing that needs to happen in order for the end times is for a prophecy to take place, Isaiah's prophecy of the destruction of Damascus, Syria. So they're like
super excited about the destruction.
They're geared up. Yeah. Oh, goody, grab the popcorn, you know. End days are coming, but not before Joyner and Boykin elicit God's help to save the Constitution by suspending the Constitution.
Now let's go backward in time. George Bush. You say, why? Well, I'll show you why. Watch this.
If this were a dictatorship, it'd be a heck of a lot easier. Just so long as I'm the dictator.
It takes an oath of office.
Off the platform. Everybody...
Will you raise your right hand, Mr. President, and repeat after me? I, George Walker Bush.
I, George Walker Bush.
Do solemnly swear.
Do solemnly swear.
That I will faithfully execute.
That I will faithfully execute.
The office of President of the United States.
The office of President of the United States.
And will to the best of my ability.
And will to the best of my ability.
Preserve, protect, and defend.
Preserve, protect, and defend.
The Constitution of the United States.
The Constitution of the United States.
So help me God.
So help me God.
Really? Let's backtrack. Let's go to 1984 with Reagan and FEMA, Giuffrida. How about that? Huh? Let's go there to the testimony. How about testimony? Is that good enough for you? 1984.
Reagan was elected to the presidency. He installed Louis Giuffrida as head of FEMA, the Federal Emergency Management Agency. Giuffrida was an old cold warrior from Reagan's California days, whose specialty was suppression of unrest and dissent. Giuffrida, North, and George Bush began to turn FEMA into an instrument of domestic anti-terrorism.
You're dealing with a group of people in the Reagan administration who equated political dissent with treason and who cannot differentiate between emergency procedures, which I think everyone agrees are necessary, and suppressing political dissent. And with North and Poindexter and Casey, you had a group of people who saw Americans who disagree with them as the enemy.
Colonel North, in your work at the NSC, were you not assigned at one time to work on plans for the continuity of government in the event of a major disaster?
Mr. Chairman,
I believe that question touches upon a highly sensitive and classified area, so may I request that you not touch upon that, sir.
I was particularly concerned, Mr. Chairman, because I read in Miami papers and several others that there had been a plan developed by that same agency, a contingency plan in the event of emergency that would suspend the American Constitution. And I was deeply concerned about it and wondered if that was the area in which he had worked.
May I most respectfully request that that matter not be touched upon at this stage. If we wish to get into this, I'm certain arrangements can be made for an executive session.
And tragically, the only member who got close was Jack Brooks, and he was stopped by the chairman.
Well, that's 1984. Another dictatorship is a result of a Gillian dialectic of a national disaster. What do you know about that, huh? What do you think about those apples? And then let's go back a little further, 1984 to 1972 to 74. I got evidence that Nixon was planning a military takeover of the U.S. government, working with General Cushman. They were going to assassinate Spiro Agnew, as evidence shows in testimony of Lewis Tackwood, who was a member of the LAPD in superintelligence unit that was going to assassinate Spiro Agnew during the 1972, September 72, Republican convention in San Diego. They were going to assassinate Agnew and then have several during what he's going to speak. Nixon would declare martial law after a series of bombings after the assassination. And I've got the details, and I found articles in Microfiche that, This is a long time ago. Let me think, rack my brain. Not Schlesinger. I'm sorry, I forgot the name here. I'll think of it in a minute. Hold on. Bear with me here a minute. Rack my brain. These names and all this, I keep in my head pretty much. I found an article. That reported. Secretary of Defense. Had actually investigated how quick they could move 82nd Airborne into Washington, D.C. if Schlesinger, thank you very much, I remember now, Schlesinger, secured the military chain of command August 27, 1974. The military coup was supposed to take place later also. It was always looming in the background. Quote, department officials have confirmed that Schlesinger and General George Brown, chairman of the Joint Chief of Staff, there's your separation between the General Chief of Staff and the presidential administration that works with the Vatican, versus our own Knights Templar, Knights of Malta over here, there's a separation there. George Brown, chairman of the Joint Chief of Staff, discussed among themselves how they should be aware of illegal orders being issued to military units outside the formal chain of structure. Atlantic Monthly, August 1983, said, quote, Schlesinger began to investigate what forces could be assembled at his order as a counterweight to the Marines if Nixon, in a crisis, chose to subvert the Constitution. The notion that Nixon could at any time resort to extraordinary steps to preserve his presidency was far more widespread in the government than the public perceived, early days of Watergate perceived today. Unquote. Yeah. So they were going to assassinate Spiro Agnew on the campaign floor in 1972 Republican Convention. Then 1973 was going to be a series of bombings, and Nixon had the justification to declare martial law. Let's go back a little further. I'm not done. How about this? They even tried to enlist a general in the Marine Corps again. FDR, that liar, was going to catch General Butler in the act in 1932-33, declare martial law. Even FDR was planning dictatorship. FDR said, and I quote, FDR, which is representative of all the presidents, March 4th, 1939, behind closed doors, observed, wrote down by Senator London. It was sitting among three of the congressional committees, heard this quote. March 4th, 1939, FDR said behind closed doors, begin quote, I am making no concessions to business or for relief. I have a military machine sufficient to stop any organized revolt. I'm putting my people ahead of all instruments. And I'll have had a full understanding with Chamberlain, and we will destroy this unemployed condition. Now, this is 1939. With a war, and a war only. To hell with American people, as far as a democracy is concerned. It does not exist. Never did, and we will never let it happen that way. Now, he says, I'm putting my people, that's the Illuminati family. He says, ahead of all instruments, that's the American people. These are all Luciferians, every one of them. I got quotes here, you understand this? He says, and I continue, quote, I am going to crush business, infest America with all the aliens possible. And the last analysis, declare martial law, confiscate everything I need for a true and forceful dictatorship. There it is again. My new deal is a failure, a stimulus plan. And I know it, but no one else will tell me I must discontinue my present activities and program. That's in front of three congressional committees. Military Appropriation Committee, the Secret Audience, the Ways and Means Committee, and the Special War Finance Committee. And you'll find this in The Red Fog Over America by William G. Carr, 1955. And he received this quote directly from Senator Lundeen in around 1950s after FDR died. You got that? You want evidence? I got testimony for you. Because 6 years before this, 1939, they'd planned a military coup, but General Butler of the Marine Corps didn't know FDR was a part of this. To catch Butler in the act of it, declare him a traitor, justify martial law. Butler didn't know that. And neither did the people that's doing this film. Here we go.
You can roughly locate any community somewhere along a scale running all the way from democracy to despotism. This man makes it his job to study these things.
Well, for one thing, avoid the comfortable idea that the mere form of government can of itself safeguard a nation against despotism.
For big business, despotism was often a useful tool for securing foreign markets and pursuing profits. One of the U.S. Marine Corps' most highly decorated generals, Smedley Darlington Butler, by his own account, helped pacify Mexico for American oil companies, Haiti and Cuba for National City Bank, Nicaragua for the Brown Brothers brokerage, the Dominican Republic for sugar interests, Honduras for U.S. fruit companies, and China for Standard Oil. General Butler's services were also in demand in the United States itself in the 1930s, as President Franklin Delano Roosevelt sought to relieve the misery of the Depression through public enterprise and tougher regulations on corporate exploitation and misdeeds.
More power to you, President Roosevelt. The entire country's behind you, thrilled with hope and patriotism.
But the country was not entirely behind the populist president. Large parts of the corporate elite despised what Roosevelt's New Deal stood for. And so, in 1934, a group of conspirators sought to involve General Butler in a treasonous plan.
The plan as outlined to me was to form an organization of...
Actual testimony.
...to use as a bluff or as a club, at least, to intimidate the government.
But the corporate cabal had picked the wrong man. Butler was fed up with being what he called a gangster for capitalism.
I appeared before the Congressional Committee, the highest representation of the American people, under subpoena to tell what I knew of activities, which I believe might lead to an attempt to set up a fascist dictatorship. The upshot of the whole thing was that I was supposed to lead an organization of 500,000 men, which would be able to take over the functions of government.
A Congressional Committee ultimately found evidence of a plot to overthrow Roosevelt. According to Butler, the conspiracy included representatives of some of America's top corporations, including J.P. Morgan, DuPont, and Goodyear Tire. As today's chairman of Goodyear Tire knows...
Now, further on in this film, they do a little sneaky, even in the film. You heard the actual testimony of General Butler, who was a three-time Medal of Honor winner, who really only two showed up in his record. He turned down the third one, said, "I don't deserve it." So he turned it down, the Medal of Honor. He was an honest man. He was a tough general. He was a real general, not like the fakes they got today. And traitors they have today in the Council of Foreign Relations. Now, what they're trying to do in this film, though, and I cut it off because they have the corporation presidents coming up saying the corporations are doing it. No, it's the Jesuits. So they're trying to put it on the corporations as the bottom of the ladder. And they're nothing. Man, they can change a president of a country like Obama in a second. The CEOs of these companies are nothing, man. They're shoeshine guys. They'll die in a heartbeat anytime the CIA, the Jesuits, want them dead in Illuminati. They'll take them out in an evening and not even blink an eye. So they're trying to get us on this film even to believe the corporations are doing it. You see how these people are? Yeah, well. That's the 1930s. Family, I've demonstrated that they've tried a military coup. Since current 2010 or 11, all the way back to 1930s, by testimony, straight from their own mouth. And even Rick Joyner and General Boykin, a military takeover. You see, they're lying, too. They're just part of this. Jerry Boykin and Rick Joyner are Knights of Malta. They're higher level than the President of the United States. You understand this? President of the United States? He's nothing more than a president of a corporation. That's all. Literally. That's correct. They're lying to you, family. They're lying to you. But now, see, I'm doing them a service right now. You know why? Because they want to show the worthlessness of all governments, so that the governments will come together and then form the New World Order. Now, the ones that form the New World Order will arrest the Illuminati, will get rid of Bush and all these, and arrest the bankers and all that. That's also going to be bogus. Because the ones that supposedly are good guys, there are no good guys in this game. All of them. Both sides. No matter who it is. It don't matter who. Work for Lucifer. It's called the Gillian dialectic. So now they make the Illuminati, which some of you are starting to learn who are, and they're making the bankers and all these, they're going to arrest them. They're going to get rid of the bad guys. We're the good guys, like Anonymous and all these others, whatever, I don't know. It's a lie. Jesus Christ is the only true one you're going to get. Literally. All these we're talking about, secret society members, worship Lucifer. As written down, as documented, as they say themselves at the highest level. That Lucifer is their God. Now, I don't care whether you believe him or not. They do. And the Illuminati, they do. And they control the world right now. But they won't when Jesus Christ comes back. They won't when he brings judgment on this earth. And that judgment is going to be like this world has never seen in the history of man. And there's nothing they can do. Now, I got about an hour. I'm going to talk about this later on this week. I realize tonight I don't have the time to go into the other part. But tomorrow I will talk about gun control. That's a big thing on their list. Gun control from the biblical point of view. I was going to try to get to it today, but I wasn't able to. And with tomorrow, I'll start fresh with it, and we'll move into the next segments. Family, all this is connected. To arm you with knowledge, knowing that Jesus Christ is real. If they believe in Lucifer, and they're doing what Lucifer tells them to do, they're doing it. Lucifer is a created being. The created can never defeat the creator. Now, if you're an atheist, it don't matter what you believe. They do. And you ain't in charge. They are, for the time being. If you think evil created this world, you got another thing coming. Evil will not win in this battle. We're heading toward the end of it now, of the broadcast. I'll let you all know that John Kirkler, H-E-R-K-A-L-E-R, plays my broadcast and Bible studies randomly on his network in highpointradio.net up in New York, New Jersey, and Pennsylvania. He's got sponsors up there. And for me, he just plays my broadcast and Bible studies. You go to his website, highpointradio.net, and find out who his sponsors are and use them up there, you know, three states. And as long as he's helped, he just plays my broadcast and Bible studies, and I appreciate it. That's it. Also, I've got a website, watchmenforjesus.com, and a Facebook, Watchmen for Jesus, and there you go. So, family, I appreciate y'all coming by today. And tomorrow, I'll hit the ground running. Tonight, got Bible study, 8 to 9. I'll also hit the ground running. How's it go? Maybe Roadrunner. That's what I do, the best I can. Family, it's going to get serious. I mean, more serious than it ever was. When the time comes and whistle's blown, here we go. We're in it. Don't know when. This year, next year, next month, I don't know. But if you're right with God through Jesus, man, you ain't got to worry about it, no matter what happens. No matter what they bring at you. You Freemasons, you better resign that oath, man. Because they're going to put you on a chopping block. That's a promise. I'm trying to warn you. They're not on your side. We'll use you up and kill you just as soon as they're done. That's a guarantee. Well, family, tomorrow I'm going to hit the ground running again. 4 to 6. And Bible study Monday through Friday, 8 to 9. Broadcast 4 to 6, Monday through Friday also. And also, when y'all come on, you go to TalkStream Live. Click on when you come on. We'll see how many people show up and how many. I just want to get an idea from the stats from TalkStream Live to see how well I'm getting out. to people. If y'all could make a habit of that, I'd appreciate it. Every day, twice an hour, or once an hour. So it'd be two times during my broadcast to go to TalkStreamLive.com every hour, once every hour. And let me know how far I'm getting out to people. And if you need suggestions, let me know and so forth. You know, I'm easy going. Well, I'm not easy going, but I'm easy. I'd like to learn. I like to pass on what I've learned. So y'all have a good night. And through Jesus Christ, they will not win this battle. This war is already won. The losses are those who reject Jesus. That's the losses. Those are the casualties. The war is already done. Jesus won at the cross of Calvary. Right now, we're counting the casualties of those who rejected Jesus. And that's what they're trying to do, is keep people from him. This is the big picture of what's going on today. Y'all have a good night now. And we'll see y'all tonight, 8 to 9, or tomorrow, 4 to 6. Good night. God bless. This is The Watchman, signing off.
Right overhead, just melted into peace.
I am with you every day to the end of time.